You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special KoopaCast where we talk about the late president of Nintendo, Satoru Iwata. I'm your host for this KoopaCast, Matt, the multimedia manager of PNM and PureNintendo.com. I'm joined by two very special people. I am joined by Justin Sharp, our editor-in-chief.
Hello, everyone.
And I am joined by Trevor Gould, our writer.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for watching, and as glad to be here as I can under the circumstances.
I definitely agree. And like I said before, we are talking about Mr. Iwata. If you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, like, you know, something that if you were, like, on E3 and you saw him and you met him and he was a super nice guy, or, you know, some way Iwata, like, inspired you in some way, feel free to leave a comment on our KoopaCast post at purenintendo.com. You'll see the post right up on the front page. If you're watching this directly from Google+, you can also use the Q&A app. We are actively looking, and we will read all of your comments. If you have any memories you want to share through Twitter, you can always tweet at purenintendo using the hashtag KoopaCast. And, you know, I'm sure everyone has seen, the news was very shocking. Mr. Iwata, he passed away because of a bile duct growth. It's not clear how long he's had it. We know he had surgery last year, I believe, was for the same thing. And we thought that was the end of it. It obviously was not. It kind of came back. And unfortunately, he could not win this battle. So... I guess I'll start with the news. How did you guys kind of react when you heard that?
Well, it was definitely very shocking. I think it was, I guess, Sunday night. And it definitely kind of came out of the blue. I had a couple texts on my phone of people mentioning it. And there's a Facebook group that James and I are in with some friends, and they had mentioned it. And I was like, wow, what's going on? I definitely didn't believe it when I first heard the news. I had to, you know, go to the official source and saw that Nintendo had released an official PDF about it. It was definitely very, very shocking. I mean, 55 isn't super young, but it's not super old either. So definitely before his time. So I think shocking, definitely. Not good news to receive. So.
Mm-hmm. Trevor?
I remember at first I was just getting ready to turn in, actually, when I first saw a few tweets, and at first I was skeptical because people were tweeting, but there was no source, and I'm like, you know, where's this information coming from? And so I went to bed with some concern, but I had my doubts. I said, you know, this can't be. I said, you know, Nintendo's posted today and there's no news of it. You know, where's this coming from? But then, of course, the next day, I discovered that, you know, it was true, actually. And I guess that's probably a common thing with death is that initial denial. Mm-hmm. Because probably like many, I thought he was on the rebound. The surgery, you know, we thought was successful by all accounts, and certainly he was active, you know, with directs and such. So it was definitely a surprise, and not the sort of surprise that we like, you know. But now that some time's gone, and you know, we have days to reflect. You know, I've tried to just look at his, you know, time with Nintendo, and you know, reflect on the man in a good light, and not, you know, dwell in my own, you know, grief or the grief of fans.
Yeah, remember his life and legacy and impact in him.
I had a, you know, I guess a similar experience to like the other two. I kind of just got off of my J job, and I just happened to see a tweet from another journalist that says, like, you know, it just said, "Rest in peace, Mr. Iwata." And that guy's posted jokes before, and I'm like, oh, okay, so it's probably some reference to some other tweet that he's written, you know. So I started scrolling down, more and more people kept saying it, and then I saw the PDF, and I was like, oh man. It was very sudden, and then, you know, again, very sad, and when I did some research into it, like, kind of what it was, and it was like, I guess it was cancer that got him, and apparently, like, I think I want to say Wall Street may have published this. I can't remember off the top of my head. They talked about, you know, the survivability of the type of cancer that Mr. Iwata was suffering from, and that it was somewhere like in a very low percentage, like I want to say like 15 or, you know, 35 or something like that. And like, so he's had that, to think that he's had that for like, you know, more than a year. And then he's known this, and then he's still like running the company kind of like just like it's normal, you know, like everyday business practices, you know. And then just but yeah, that really speaks a lot about who he was. I was watching the GDC 2005 conference. They just kind of released it after his death of his, Mr. Iwata's speech. And apparently during that, even like he's had like, he was suffering from a sore throat. And, I mean, that's just the kind of guy he is. It's like, doesn't matter like what's affecting him. He just wants to be out there and talking to people and, you know, letting everybody know how the company is doing and that, you know, they're always doing their best in Nintendo to get things done.
Yeah. I think that's part of why it was such a surprise, because even though we knew he was ill, you know, he was so, so active in the Nintendo community. I mean, even up till a couple weeks ago, he was responding to fan reaction from E3, you know, and sort of expressing regret that, like, Metroid didn't go over so well. And, you know, this wasn't a man that you would necessarily look at and say, this is a man that's dying, you know, because he seemed to have, you know, that vital energy, especially when it came to Nintendo and, you know, and its fans.
Yeah, because you would think someone with that kind of condition would, you know, step down, or, you know, there would be, you know, some other, you know, so I don't know if, you know, he worked it out with Nintendo that said, hey, I can serve out my term, and, you know, maybe he just deteriorated really fast. I don't know, but it is cool that he, you know, stuck with it, and he, you know, still doing the directs as much as he could. Obviously, I think there was one or two directs where he wasn't doing them. There was like a direct micro, and then there was one where there was another guy doing it. But yeah, it seemed like he was still so involved. Like, even, was it a few weeks ago, maybe a week before E3, where he tweeted out his new me, you know?
Where he was thinner?
Yeah, and he's like, hey, I'm thinner, but, you know, I figured I should, you know, debut my new me character and all that. You know, he seemed pretty, you know, jovial. I think it was when he first started doing that Iwata Twitter hashtag, you know? But I don't know, he just seemed, when we were writing up our tributes to Iwata, I think probably the biggest thing I remember about him is just his humor. I mean, he didn't always, you know, like when he was in a direct, he was serious, you know, but you could tell he had a lot of sense of humor, like, you know, holding the bananas or, you know, doing the Muppet stuff. I mean, you know that, you know, he was involved with those decisions to do these fun, you know, silly things that he knows fans would like, or, you know, get a rise out of them, and, you know. So I always appreciated that about him.
Yeah, I was watching the direct for Smash Brothers, where him and Reggie were squaring off, and
that was awesome.
I thought that was such a, you know, sort of a, you know, a condensed version of like his life, you know, because there he was fighting, but I mean he really was a fighter, yeah. You know, like you said, how many people in his position would have stepped aside? And it's not like, you know, there weren't occasions where people were speculating that might happen for other reasons. There would have been, you know, plenty of opportunities, but, you know, this was a man that, you know, was dedicated to Nintendo, to their fans, to gaming in general, and in spite of, you know, however much he must have been suffering, you know, I can only imagine, but it does, it speaks a lot to his character.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool just seeing the responses just from, like, everybody in the game industry, you know, like Shu Yoshida, the Sony boss, and how he was mentioning Iwata, and just all these other people around the industry from Microsoft, Sony, you know, all third-party developers, that even ones that don't develop for Nintendo, you know, they had... Yeah, they knew he had an impact on the industry and was a positive influence. So.
Yeah. Have you guys ever actually met Iwata in person or seen him in person at all?
I have seen him in person. My first E3, which was 2008, I think, and one of the meeting rooms upstairs. Nintendo had a little booth, small little meeting room, and I was there playing, I forget the game I was playing, it was on the DS at the time, 3DS wasn't out yet, but he came in, there were a couple other Japanese executives with him, Miyamoto was there, Reggie was there, I was a little starstruck, you know, I was just kind of like sitting there, there were a couple other journalists next to me playing this game, I was just looking up and just like watching, you know. I was like texting my brother, like, I'm in the same room with all these people that I've, you know, seen and heard about, and, you know, so it was just kind of an interesting moment, like my first E3 and seeing all three of them right there. Actually, the first time I saw him was the day before at the Kodak Theater. I was, for those of you who remember the infamous Nintendo press conference where they debuted Wii Music, and they had you know, the Ravi guy doing the drums,
DJ Ravi drums.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious. I mean, for my first E3, you know, I probably have fonder memories than people looking on from watching it live. But I can remember I got to the theater really early. And I actually saw Iwata crossing the street. It was like 6:30 in the morning, you know, in the middle of Hollywood there. And he was waiting for the crosswalk. So, you know, he pressed the button and he's looking, he's in his suit, you know, and waited for the crosswalk and, you know, eventually cruised across. And I was just sitting there like, should I walk up to him? And, you know, he was by himself. There was nobody around him. And we were just walking into the theater. And like 10 minutes later, Reggie in his suit is doing the exact same thing, walking across the crosswalk there. So, anyways, I didn't bother him or anything. But,
you didn't bother him or Reggie?
No. I was just, you know, they probably get that a lot. Let me take a picture with you. You know, I've heard stories where Iwata has taken pictures of people and he's very nice. So I'm sure he would have accommodated me, but... But I never actually had the chance to meet him. It was really just, I saw him there, and I saw him up there in the meeting room. And I mean, you'd see him on stage at E3s after that, too. Not recently, but anyways, yeah. Kind of fun experience.
Back when they did press conferences?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Still something I missed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they'll do one next year. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, a lot of things are up in the air, I guess, right now, but... Nintendo has mentioned that it seems like hardware is a better when they have hardware to announce, a press conference is better for that. So Since they haven't had new hardware to announce, the directs and the digital events have sufficed. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever. I may have seen him in person, Iwata. Nothing like he was walking up the street or anything like that. It was just at my first E3 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or 3 years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
And time moves fast. And everybody had the cat ears on. I mean, that's definitely a very humanizing, I guess, experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, this guy runs everything, and he's wearing cat ears. Okay, let's...
Yeah.
They're all wearing cat ears. Interesting.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, wow, I mean, they are having fun, you know.
Yeah.
They know that, you know, sometimes you just gotta be goofy to sell like fun games, and they were.
Yeah, you could tell. I use this this expression a lot, but like I'll label myself as like a big kid. You know, we're at E3, you know, but I'm still like a big kid. I mean, I'm having fun, you know, playing video games, and it just seemed like Miyamoto and Iwata. You know, a lot of those guys are just like big kids. They're just having the time of their life making games. You know, this is what they, you know, it's what we always want in life, you know, to find a job where we're like, hey, this is what I love doing and I get paid to do it. How cool is that, right?
Right.
And they always struck me as people like that, that they just loved what they did, absolutely loved what they did. And, you know, it showed just in how they did their jobs and did them very well.
Yeah, that's what I think of when I think of Iwata. I never met him, but like I said in the comments for the site, you know, I kind of felt like he was a friend because he brought the interaction with the Nintendo community. You know, he came in, and then Reggie, I think, was the following year, and they really brought an openness that Nintendo wasn't known for. You know, before then, I remember a kid in, like, the 64 era, and it felt like Nintendo held things very close to their chest, and they didn't have that type of communication with, and even in the early days of the GameCube, they didn't have that openness with the media, with the fans, and then, you know, Iwata came in, Reggie came in, and slowly, you know, they brought that out, you know, that communication out, and they did it with flair, you know, like Justin was saying. They seem to be enjoying themselves, and that's what you like. I think people are transparent. I think we can always tell, you know, when we see executives or, you know, at trade shows talking about games, and you can tell, okay, they're businessmen, but are they really gamers?
Right.
And of course, Iwata, you know, the quote that we've been seeing a lot of all week is, you know, he may be a CEO, he may be this, but in his heart, you know, he's a gamer. And, you know, of course, stemming from his days with Hal. But, you know, that's what I admire about his leadership of Nintendo, his era, is that they really brought the fans into it and back into it in many ways, you know, after the struggles of, you know, the turn of the millennium there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have always had huge respect for Iwata because I did feel like he had credibility as a gamer and being a game developer. I mean, you know, it's one thing to run a business if you've got a, you know, an MBA and you've got a marketing degree or, you know, whatever else. You know, you're, quote, qualified to run a business, but you could run pretty much any business, right? You know, whereas he had that, you know, hands-on experience of, you know, developing games, developing Kirby games, and, you know, Smash Brothers with Sakurai, and, you know, Balloon Fight, you know, so he had that experience, he had that love for video games already. I think if you're a game developer, you're naturally a gamer. I don't think there's a game developer out there that's not a gamer, you know, that doesn't enjoy playing games. I don't think you get into developing games without having that, so... he always had that credibility, and that, you know, I always respected him for, you know, more so like when Hiroshi Yamauchi was president there. I mean, he'd been president for like, what, 50 years or something before Iwata had taken over. And I mean, Hiroshi Yamauchi went through, you know, Nintendo had like a love hotel. They had, what was it, a taxi service in the 60s and 70s. And they started doing some of the toys when Gunpei Yokoi came in. And then when they finally got it, I mean, you got to respect Yamauchi for getting Nintendo into video games eventually. But like you said, there was always a disconnect between the fans and Nintendo at that time. And Iwata really took things up. And, you know, it's like, hey, this is the first president of Nintendo that's a game developer. You know, what a novel idea for a game company, you know? But I thought that was a really cool thing. So,
The biggest thing I remember Iwata having like an impression was it was, you know, during one of the harder times with Nintendo. It was, you know, when they were 3DS and Wii U, they're not selling too well. So like when it came down to it, Iwata, he took a pay cut. He took a 50% pay cut. Mm-hmm. Instead of firing these people, which was what like a lot of companies would do. Your business isn't doing well. We need to like downsize the company. And I would have just said, no. This is my responsibility, or this is my company. This is my responsibility. You know, yeah. I'm gonna take it. And then, I that was completely unheard of. I've still never heard of anybody else doing that. Yeah. You know, maybe people have taken pay cuts in the future, but like not like 50%, not so significant as like what Iwata did. Yeah. It never really made like a strong impression on me. I was like, wow, I mean that this guy really cares about what he's doing, his company. Yeah, you know.
In some ways, not to get preachy, but it reminds me of there's a scripture. And to paraphrase, it basically says that, you know, all things are lawful, but not necessarily to your advantage. And I was thinking of Iwata when I read that, because he'd be within his right to keep his salary. He'd be within his right to lay off people. But just because he could do it doesn't mean it's going to lead to a long-term advantage for Nintendo. Like there was a quote, and I'm not going to remember it exactly, but he basically said people who are, you know, working under the threat of being laid off, you know, are they going to be able to produce games that are, you know, delight fans? And that's a fair point. I think being under those conditions, you'd be more likely to get a safe, maybe cookie cutter experience. Mm-hmm. So I commend Iwata for that. He sort of had a clear long term vision, and he didn't always exercise the rights, the authority, the power he had as president, because he was thinking of the advantage of Nintendo as a whole, not just of him as, you know, as the leader. Mm-hmm.
And so, just to kind of change it up just a little bit, like, what is the, like, the first game of Iwata's that you remember, like, playing?
Well, for me, it's actually, Hal had a game, I don't know if it was a launch Super Nintendo game, but I think it came out that early on. It was NCAA basketball, and it had the Mode 7 effects with the court. Which a lot like Pilot Wings. That was one of the early examples of Mode 7. And as a kid, and as a basketball fan especially, that wowed the heck out of me and my friends. You know, coming off playing something like Double Dribble or something, to see that. And, you know, I remember thinking, wow, Hal is going to be, they're going to be Nintendo's EA. They're going to be churning out these sports hits. And they had a few, but of course they, you know, diversified into other genres. But that was definitely a highlight for, you know, even pre-Kirby and some of these other games. That was one of my favorites as a kid.
How about you, Justin?
I guess mine would have to be Smash Brothers. I don't know if I played any. I don't remember playing Balloon Fight much. We had like Mario Brothers 3 and Contra and a bunch of the typical NES games. But I don't remember playing Balloon Fight like that much, just in retrospect on Virtual Console and things like that. But I'd say Smash Brothers 64 is probably my first. I didn't know at the time, obviously, that Iwata had worked on it and Sakurai, and, you know, the type of game they were building at the time. I'm sure it was a very different concept, you know, at that time. They wanted to make a, you know, four-player game, and, you know, it's interesting hearing the stories about it now, but And that's, I mean, look at what an awesome game that's become. I mean, Smash Brothers is just huge. You know, it spans every type of gamer, I think, can enjoy Smash Brothers. I mean, it's kind of like Mario Kart a little bit in that regard. But, yeah, that was always a fun time.
It was definitely the game that he wanted, like, or what he talks about, which is like a game that anybody could play.
Yeah.
And, you know, Smash Brothers was definitely that.
Yeah, and you think about, like, from the early to mid to late 90s, the fighting genre was huge, and then they went from 2D to 3D, and it was very much, you know, an enthusiast genre. Like, I remember back when arcades were popular, and you'd go in, and if you weren't studied up on Street Fighter or Tekken or a lot of these games, you'd get killed because they were very complex. There were a lot of moves, you need to learn a lot of practice. And then Smash Brothers comes along and it's like, hey, you know, my kid sister can jump in and beat me up, or, you know, whoever. It opened up a wide range of possibilities while still appealing to that, you know, hardcore crowd. I hate to say that, but I was the best of both.
Yeah, that seemed to be a recurring theme in Iwata, just like his mission with games Nintendo made was accessibility, you know, making sure that, you know, everybody, all types of gamers could play and enjoy the game. I feel like sometimes, you know, Nintendo got some flack for that, you know, because they're like, you know, they would see those little things like, oh, do you need help? You've died lots of times. Do you need this little item or whatever? But
oh, I'd loathe those.
Yeah. And, like, you know, so us as, like, the gamers are like, no, we don't need that. Get it away from me, you know. But, you know, like, I don't know, like, seeing my nephew play or something, you know, he thinks that's the greatest thing. He's like, oh, that item appeared. I'm going to get it, you know. And, you know, of course, it lets him get through the level. He can run into enemies. You know, his little sister can play a little easier because she doesn't have to worry about running into enemies. And she can have fun, you know, when a little kid, you know, is trying to play along and they run into an enemy and die and everyone else is enjoying the game, you know, they feel bad. They don't want to play the game anymore. You know? They're like, oh, this game's dumb. I died and that you guys are having fun with it. But so I feel like he tried to include everybody. And I think that's cool. And I think we're seeing an example of that in the new Yoshi's Woolly World, how you have those different options where you can switch, like, in tandem as the game is playing, you can kind of switch that difficulty level, which is interesting. Anyways, I always thought that was cool.
And I mean, you can't, you know, obviously opinions differ, but I think a large part of the success of the Wii and the DS stemmed from that approach. You know, how many Wii owners got it just because they could enjoy Wii Sports? Mm. Or, you know, DS people got it from, like, the Touch Generation games. You know, and, I mean, those are two. I mean, Wii, over 100 million consoles. DS, I think, is within a few hundred thousand of the PS2 for best-selling system ever.
Yep.
I mean, that's huge. And we may forget that now because the Wii U is struggling. Mm-hmm. But that's huge, and those were two of Nintendo's big successes that came, you know, under Iwata's leadership.
I'm struggling to remember the first game that I played that was Iwata's.
Mm.
Or that, I guess the first one where I was aware of how Laboratory would be Smash Brothers for the N64.
I always thought their logo was funny, too. I remember seeing it, I was like, how Laboratory? And it's this little dog with eggs and...
Yeah, I got to admit, I can't remember what it's about. I still don't get it.
it's just kind of funny.
I guess, I mean, I knew that Hell stood for something, but I guess what I didn't know is because when I was watching the GDC thing, Iwata was talking about the origins of Hell, and he goes, we named it Hell because of Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
Hell was a cool name, so we just named our company Hell. I was like, what a very basic way to name your company. And it was like, I just totally out of left field. I was like, because it sounded cool. I'm like, okay.
And that and this shows you that he was a gamer at heart. You know, they're not picking names based on, you know, studies or demographics or, you know, what looks good on the letterhead. They pick it just because it's fun.
And that I think that's Nintendo's key motivation. I think if you if you look at their whole philosophy, I mean, maybe throughout their whole time in video games, maybe just since Iwata's been in, but it seems like fun and gameplay is the core. They're not fighting to see who's going to have the strongest specs or all that stuff. They're just saying, hey, let's make it accessible. Let's try and get to as many people as we can and just have fun.
And they definitely succeeded in that front. I mean, though even with the Wii U, it's not the most graphically intensive console out there. And even before the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, it still wasn't the most graphically intensive console out there. But, you know, it still had fun games. And Nintendo kept following up with that philosophy. It's fun first. Does anybody else have anything else to add about Iwata?
Well, I suppose I guess I would. It's still sinking in, I think, for me in a lot of ways. You know, and of course you deal with death a little differently when it's not family or personal friend. You know, but I. So I apologize if I seemed out of sorts for this Koopa guest, but you know, I guess my thoughts are with his family, you know, his friends, his colleagues that he worked with at Nintendo. I mean, we feel it as gamers, as journalists, but there's a lot of people who knew Iwata, you know, as a man and are dealing with bereavement, and it's for those people that I really feel for, and you know, I express my sympathies for, and I suppose maybe we'll hear more as his funeral approaches. I think it's end of the week. So it's been a tough few days. It's going to be a tough a few more, I think. But yeah, I think the best thing we can do is just, you know, remember the good things he brought and play games and have fun.
And I guess I want to thank everybody for, you know, tuning in for this very special Koopa cast. Again, we wish it was for a happier thing, but you know. So again, thank you. If you want to submit a question to the Koopa cast, you can always reach us at podcast@purenintendo.com. You can always tweet us. We love getting new Twitter followers. You can find our Twitter handles in our lower thirds. We also have them on our website, purenintendo.com. You can always tweet at purenintendo using the hashtag KoopaCast, or you can always leave a comment below any of our KoopaCast postings. So next time is KoopaCast 73. You can leave a comment for KoopaCast 73 regarding whatever subject. All right. And I'm going to go ahead and leave everybody with a quote that everyone's probably seen 1,000 times over, but you know, it's good to read it again. And it is Iwata's opening statement at GDC 2005. It's on my business card, I'm a corporate president. In my mind, I'm a game developer. But in my heart, I am a gamer. All right, and so thank you all for listening. And again, thank you very much, Mr. Iwata, for, you know, creating so many great games and working very hard and, you know, leading Nintendo down all these new directions. So thank you very much.